Husker Doc Talk Podcast, 2015, number 10. Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Husker Doc Talk Podcast, presented by the Remington Trophy. Of course, the Remington Trophy given annually to the nation's top center. This year's Remington Trophy celebration coming up January 16th, Rococo Theater, Lincoln, Nebraska. It's the party of all parties. Get your tickets now at RemingtonTrophy.com. For those of you new to the Husker Doc Talk Podcast, welcome. It's good to have you here. For those of you who come each and every week, great to have you back. Also want to thank HuskerMax.com for distributing the Husker Doc Talk Podcast. Good to have them as a partner in this, as they are so kind to put this on their news feed each and every week. And joining me, my name's Travis Justice, is the one, the only, Dr. Rob Zadiska. What's up, Doc?
How are you doing tonight?
You know, I couldn't be better.
I heard you went and hung out at the Benson Brewery.
I was at the Benson Brewery, a proud supporter of the Husker Doc Talk Podcast. I had to go without you. People were asking, where's the doc at? I said, well, you know, he has a really important job, like being a doctor. And from what I understand, these little youth volleyball girls are getting hurt left and right, and you're knocking them out.
Drugs. I don't know if we should be telling people I knock out a bunch of volleyball players. that could be misconstrued.
It does sound a little creepy, doesn't it?
A little bit.
If Dr. Rob sounds a little bit different, it's because he just got out of the hospital. He just got out of the operating room, and he says, hey, I can't make it to the studio tonight. Can we do it via Skype? And because of modern technology, we can make that happen. So Dr. Rob joins us via Skype tonight. And you heard him mention the Benson Brewery. The Benson Brewery, a proud supporter of the Husker Doc Talk Podcast. Tuesday night, great night to get there for $3 tacos. It's Taco Tuesday. They have great queso and chips. And I also had some great beer tonight as well. So if you've never been to the Benson Brewery, get there. It's at 6059 Maple. And the heart of Benson, of course, that is in Omaha. Rob, I'm going to ask you a question, and I want your honest answer, because based off the game last week, especially the fourth quarter against Southern Miss, I think it's safe to say this ain't your grandpa's or even your daddy's black shirts, is it?
Oh, boy, they've got some issues. Well, but on the flip side, I mean, when was the last time you saw a Nebraska defense that really looked good?
Well, you know, you and I could probably differ on this. I would say the last really good Nebraska defense to me would have been Bo Pelini's first year, which had Ndamukong Suh, Zach Potter was part of that bunch. But before that, you'd have to go way back in time.
Well, I mean, I agree. You kind of had that whole 08 to 2010 era. Little, in my opinion, a little bit of a flash in the pan, though. And once those guys, once Sue was gone, Jared Crick was gone, that incredible collection of defensive backs that Nebraska had at that era, once those guys were gone, it kind of all fell off again. And, I mean, Pelini's defenses gave up some historic point totals and yardage numbers in the time that he was the coach here.
Yeah, they really did. And of course, which was uncharacteristic, at least of what people thought, because they thought when Bill Callahan was fired, Kevin Cosgrove was let go, that Bo Pelini would bring in this new sense of urgency when it came to the defense. That was the whole reason they kept Sean Watson on board, because they thought, well, the offense is fine, the defense needs revamped. And at the end, it was probably Pelini's defensive performances that ended up costing him his job.
Well, and I think it was one of these situations where the guy tried to install just this absolutely ungodly complicated scheme. And I don't think he had the horses to run it. Now, if you've got guys like Sue up front, if you've got a Jared Crick, if you've got a Zach Potter, if you've got some of the athletes he had that first few years, it's going to work. It's going to click. But, man, once those guys were gone, boy, they really fell off, and it was right back to full Kevin Cosgrove mode.
But let's be honest here. We are four games into the 2015 season. If you look at the national rankings, Nebraska is ranked 102nd nationally. They've allowed 281 plays. That's an average of 70 a game. They've given up 1,812 yards. That's 6.45 yards per play. per play, Rob. They're giving up 453 yards a game. That's not good defense. That's not going to keep you in many ball games.
No, it's not. Now, at the same time, too, I think there's a degree of you got to give them time. Now, there's some good things they're doing, and I like some of the, I'm trying to think of a way to phrase it. I call it attitude coaching. And my example of this is we got a guy, Callahan, who came in who did not have the athletes to run the style of offense he wanted to run. Joe Daly as a throwing quarterback, for instance, and still forced him to do it. Nebraska could have defeated Iowa State his first year. Nebraska could have defeated Colorado his first year. Callahan decided to take a loss in order to install a system that didn't jive with the athletes he had. I don't see Riley doing that. I think they've got a system that's within the capabilities of the athletes that are currently in Lincoln. And I see them doing some decent things. I mean, the run defense is actually quite good. I mean, it's something that everybody's saying we need to fire Mark Banker and the rest of the defensive staff after four games. But it's better. It's one of the better run defenses that we've seen out of a Nebraska team in a decade. So I don't think you pull the trigger quite yet. I think they're actually doing okay. Now, the yardage totals, the big plays are another one. But I can't help but feel that they're right on the cusp of hopefully kind of turning a corner and doing some good things. That other teams are going to score some points. Other teams are going to win some games against Nebraska. My hope is that we see Nebraska at least moving in a direction. You want to see them making progress. You want to see them learning. You want to see guys buying in. It can take some time. These guys have had one spring ball and one and a month and a half of the fall here, essentially, to install a completely new system for these coaches to get used to these players. This is very new to both of these guys, for the coaches as well as the players. You got to give them time when you put in a new system. And I know everybody talks about, well, Pelini came in and got 9 wins his first year. Well, it was a pretty ragged 9 wins. And if you recall, after 6 games, Pelini was 3-3 his first season, too.
You know, it's interesting, but you understand the fan base. You've been around here a while. Most people in Nebraska don't think you rebuild. They think you just reload. You have a fan base that's rabid. And I'm not picking on anybody that listens to this podcast. I just think we try to be real, you know, and try to be as honest as we can be. But this is what happens when you buy into recruiting, you know, recruiting services and the number of stars, and not everybody pans out. Everybody's always better than they think they can be. The truth is, the cupboard's not that full for this group.
Well, and it's one, recruiting's not it's an inexact science for one thing.
No, you know what it is? It's a moneymaker for a lot of people.
Well, it is. But another thing is just that, you know, there's parity in recruiting. Guys are going to other schools. There's guys who would have walked on at Nebraska and developed into great players, a la, say, like a Spencer Long, for instance, that most of those guys are going to take the 1AA, the Division II scholarship. 25 years ago, those guys don't take that scholarship. They walk on at Nebraska. They walk on at Iowa, Minnesota, Michigan. They don't do that anymore. Now they're going to take that scholarship to South Alabama, to Southern Miss, to North Dakota State. The kids are going to go where the money is. They're going to go where that opportunity to play is. And so that spreads the talent. It spreads the talent a lot. And that's just something you used to not see. You didn't see as many kids leaving Nebraska a la Drew Ott to go to Iowa. You had them, but you remember exactly who they were because it was so few and far in between. It was Larry Station. It was Junior Bryant. It was Tim Ritter. You just didn't have a lot of these guys who left the state to go to another school, to go to Iowa, to go to Notre Dame, to go elsewhere. People stayed in Lincoln. People came to Lincoln, even as a walk-on. You just don't have that phenomenon anymore. Now the current notion is, and I have a hard time disagreeing with it. So if you get a scholarship offer at a 1AA school and an opportunity to play much earlier in your career, go do it. And that's what kids are doing. And so that spreads the talent immensely. And there's a huge number of guys I can think of that I played with that never would have come to Nebraska in the 2000s. But during the 1980s, 1990s, they did. So I think that's played a huge role in it. I think the loss of some recruits, I think a lack of emphasis on lineman recruiting has hurt Nebraska. And I think there's some guys where, you know, some guys just didn't pan out. Some of it was just they didn't do a lot of really great recruiting. I mean, one of your biggest stars on the offensive line out of the past couple of years is Spencer Long, who arrived as a walk-on. That tells you your lineman recruiting is leaving something to be desired.
Of course,
I don't mean that as a slam on Smith. Yeah. The guy turned himself into a great ball player, but that was a situation where how come you don't have the scholarship guys becoming third round draft picks of the Washington Redskins?
It's a good question.
That's what should be happening if the system works the way it's supposed to work. And I'm not bagging on the guys who are there. I mean, you got a group of linemen down in Lincoln right now who are working incredibly hard, are very aggressive. They've improved hugely since last year in terms of fundamental techniques. But at the same time, it's not like there's a bunch of five-star recruits on that offensive line in Lincoln who are playing right now. All those five-star recruits, they took and redshirted them because they want them here for the next 3 or 4 years.
Of course, for as bad as the Nebraska defense is, ranked 102nd nationally, the Nebraska offense is pretty darn salty. 19th nationally in total offense, averaging 6.84 yards per play and averaging 520 yards per game, Rob. I mean, so are we going to get to a point now, do you think, the remainder of the season that you're not going to see too many defensive battles? You're going to see
shootouts?
Yeah, you're going to have to see shootouts?
I hope not, because there's teams that can shoot it out in the Big Ten. Heck, Wisconsin can do a shootout with a running game. Well, I say that if they can keep a running back healthy, but there's teams in the Big Ten that can shoot it out. I worry about a team like Michigan State, where if you don't get a pass rush on Connor Cook, he's going to sit back there and just annihilate you all day long. That's a team with a stellar defense. Nebraska's not going to get 610 yards against Michigan State like they did against Southern Miss. Which, again, I think there's some things that, you know, I'm kind of diverging here from the argument a little bit, but I mean, everybody's kind of harping on Riley and what he's done so far. You know, even if it's against North Texas, for God's sakes, you put up 610 yards of total offense. That's not bad. It'd be nice to put it into the end zone, but Nebraska's moving the ball on people. And, I mean, Armstrong's playing the best he's looked in 3 years. The receivers are the best that I've ever seen them look. It's like the entire receiving corps magically turned into Nate Swift overnight. So, there's some really good things I think Nebraska's doing right now. We just haven't seen a complete picture yet. We haven't seen a complete package yet. And I got to be honest with you, I'd be surprised if I saw that after 4 games into the season. I'll be mildly surprised if I see that for the most part this year alone.
Oh, that's not going to make a lot of people happy. People, you know as well as I do, expect the instant turnaround.
There's got to be some understanding here. I mean, there's got to be some understanding here that this isn't going to be perfect. It's a learning process. But at the same time, I'm trying to point out there's some good things that are going on in Lincoln right now. And I don't say that to, like, upset the fans, like I'm the doom and gloom guy here. My point is that, hey, don't get so down on these guys. There's a lot of really good things they're doing in Lincoln right now. They shore up one area of the defense. They shore up the passing defense. Nebraska's actually going to be okay. I mean, they're running the ball okay. They're passing the ball great. On the whole, the offense is doing very well. The run defense is doing very well. It's just its pass defense is the one thing that's killing them. They shore that up, and all of a sudden Nebraska's sitting at 4-0.
As they stand,
I mean, literally, they're Nebraska's probably. I mean, Nebraska's probably 2 to 4 plays away from being 4-0 right now.
Well, it's funny because I can almost relate this Nebraska team almost to the Iowa team last year, and the way Iowa and what's different for Iowa this year. And people are going, "What are you bringing the Hawkeyes in?" Well, because I think it's a pretty good comparison. Last year, Iowa took a lot of heat. Did not perform well, but they had three games that were decided by 3 points or less, and they lost all three. And that's the difference between being a good, or almost from be considered really good to great, as be considered average and put your coach on the hot seat. Mike Riley's not on the hot seat, but you bring up the 3 or 4 plays. I mean, that's the difference between 2-2 and 4-0.
It is. I mean, you can go through, and you could even pick and choose plays. I mean, there was probably, well, I could think of, oh boy, I could pick any one out of, well, probably 4 plays against BYU. And if you give Nebraska back any one of those 4 plays, Nebraska beats BYU. I can think of probably about 3 or 4 plays again against Miami where, again, you give them those, any one of those plays back, Nebraska beats Miami. So it is. I mean, it's, I hate that whole cliche, the game of inches thing, but it really is. I mean, Nebraska's literally one or two plays in a couple of games from being 4-0 here.
Hey, folks, don't forget.
That's not bad. I think that's something to be excited about, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So I'm not trying to be the doom and gloom guy here by saying it's not a complete package and Nebraska's going to be hard-pressed put together a complete package this year.
Hey, folks.
But at the same time, they're doing some very good things, and I think we should be excited about where they're going.
Hey, folks, the Chicago Doghouse at Midtown Crossing is now Omaha's only true Chicago-style restaurant using only the finest Vienna all-beef hot dogs. The Chicago Doghouse, 3157 Farnham in Midtown Crossing, and of course, the Weenie Wagon. See Kelly Keegan out there every Husker home game at 9th and P as he'll be serving up a Chicago Doghouse brat or hot dog just for you at Husker games. Again, it's the Chicago Doghouse at 3157 Farnham, and Husker game days inside the Weenie Wagon, just outside 9th and P. So the Huskers are 2-2 after the non-conference portion of the season. Rob, now heading into Big Ten play, and I guess if there's one game you want to start Big Ten play, I would say playing Illinois would be it.
Well, I suppose either Illinois or Purdue.
Yeah.
Both those teams are horrible. Anything to push that Northwestern game farther away is probably a good thing at this point. Which, I mean, boy, Illinois is not good. I mean, they are an absolutely horrible team. And then they got a couple of guys who I think are going to be okay. But, I mean, you look at what Nebraska's done the past couple of years against them. The big difference is Nebraska's yet to play in Champaign. So it'll be interesting to see what Nebraska does going into that.
But nobody's going to be there.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I say that it's a different environment. I don't know if that makes a difference because I don't know if anybody has ever sat around going, oh, God, we're quaking in our boots because we're heading into Champaign, Illinois. I mean, it even sounds sort of fruity and nice. Where are you going today? I'm going to Champaign.
I mean, yeah,
good college town, though.
You know, they're coming off a win over Middle Tennessee State, where they're with a 27-25 win. The Illini 3-1, but I think that record's deceiving. And you're right; they've begged people to go to campus. They've begged people to go to games there. They fire their head coach, you know, a week before the season starts. I think the last time people were pumped up about Illinois football, Jeff George was the quarterback.
Wow. Oh, that's a low blow right
there. That is a low blow, but there's some truth to it.
You know, I mean, I hear what you're saying. They are not a very good team. I keep kind of going off the track here. I know that you want to lay for us here with the conversation. You mentioned the deceptive schedule that Illinois has. You said I'm kind of the doom and gloom guy now. I'm feeling bad about this, that you're calling me that. You know, I guess here's another thing to think about in regards to Nebraska football. Illinois's got a deceptive schedule. That 3-1 record's a little deceptive. I think Nebraska at 2-2's a little deceptive. It's one of those things where I think Nebraska's 2-2 against arguably the toughest non-conference schedule that Nebraska's played in the last decade or so. I mean, when was the last time that Nebraska has played a schedule like that in the non-conference? It's been a while since we've had a couple of, in my opinion, really interesting teams like that. So I think Nebraska's schedule is a little deceptive as well, too. I mean, it's not Mississippi State's not a good team by any means. Not Mississippi State. Southern Miss is not a good team by any means. They're not a horrible team either, and they've got a good enough offense that going into the game, everybody and their dog was saying, hey, these guys are going to, this game could turn into a shootout. They're going to move the ball against Nebraska. They're going to put up some points against Nebraska. And they did. And I guess I'm a little taken back by the fact that everybody is surprised about that. Anyway, Nebraska's schedule, South Alabama was probably really maybe the only not great team that Nebraska played in their non-conference. So I think Nebraska's schedule's as deceiving in the opposite direction as Illinois is in the positive. But I think Illinois has got some ball players. I mean, you look at a guy like Wes Lunn at quarterback. The guy's been around a while. It seems like he's been there for about 4 years, 5 years now, which I know he hasn't been the starter that long, but they've got some decent ball players there. They've got some okay wide receivers. They've played relatively well this year, but it's like you said, God, it's such a deceptive schedule when you look at it. So I don't think Nebraska is going to have much of a problem with these guys. It's not a big team. It's not an overly physical team. It's not a team that's been able to stop the run. Nebraska's always been able to run well against them. And I think if Nebraska goes out and can establish a running game, I think Illinois is going to be in big trouble. And the reason I say that is because you look at what Nebraska's been able to do in the passing game. If they can get a run game going and still fall back on that passing game, that where Nebraska's had a lot of success this year, I think Nebraska's just going to destroy them offensively. I will be interested to see what an okay team like Illinois can do against Nebraska's pass defense. Wes Lunt's not a horrible quarterback. I mean, at worst, he's a very experienced quarterback. So that being the case, you got a guy who's a junior. He's been around for a little bit. He's okay. I mean, he's got some time coming from Oklahoma State. He's not bad. So you got a guy at quarterback who could cause some damage if Nebraska doesn't get their butts in gear in that defensive backfield.
He's Dr. Rob Zadiska. I'm Travis Justice. This is the Husker Doc Talk podcast. Nebraska is going to be on the road to open up the Big Ten season this week at Illinois. Of course, a game the Huskers should win and should win quite handily. Illinois State with wins over Kent State, Western Illinois, and Middle Tennessee. The only loss the Illini have is on the road at North Carolina, losing to the Tar Heels 48-14. So, Rob, Nebraska's 2-2. If you were have to rate where Nebraska is, let's just say the Big Ten West division right now. You said their schedule's deceptive. I still think Nebraska has a chance to win the West. I don't think it's going to be an easy chance. But where do you put them in the West right now?
If you're going from the top down, it's right now. I still got Northwestern stuck up there at the top. Offensively, nothing impressive. They haven't hurt themselves on offense, but they haven't been exactly explosive by any means. They're unbelievable on defense. And if they keep playing the level of defense that they've been playing, and they're probably going to improve as the season goes along, I think they could be a special team. I think they could be really good. Wisconsin's the wild card up at the top right now. They've looked okay at times. They've looked really, really good at times. Corey Clement's out with this sports hernia, which I got to be honest with you, I'm a doctor. I don't know what a sports hernia is. I've got no clue. We're going back to Eric Crouch days of people trying to explain what this thing is. And I got to be honest with you, I am absolutely clueless as to what a sports hernia is. So Corey Clement's out. He's arguably the best running back on the team, hands down. That's been a place, though, where they've just reloaded running backs. If they can get somebody in there, keep that rushing game going, keep the production pressure off of Stave at quarterback, I think Wisconsin's one of those teams that might still be the most complete team in the division. After that, in my mind, it's a three-way tie between Nebraska, Iowa, and Minnesota. Minnesota has been just absolutely underwhelming. I can't believe they lose Max Williams at tight end, and it's like their offense just shut down. It's a completely different Minnesota yeah. team than what we saw last year. Just underwhelmed by what they've done this far. They kind of hung in there against TCU. I was actually pretty impressed by that. But then they've played a couple of, well, okay teams. Nobody impressive.
We had the rally to beat Ohio.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, Ohio? What do you... Anyway, go... I mean, it's the Fighting Franks. I'll give them that. I think they're a well-coached team. They got a hell of a quarterback in that kid from Lincoln Southeast. But they just... Minnesota's just been, God, that was the team you and I thought was gonna win the West Division. And even after that TCU game, I was still kind of thinking that, and now not so much. Iowa, you know what? I know it's your Hawkeyes, dude. I'll give you that.
I think, why?
It's the same guys from last year. I'm just not sold.
Well, no, you got a different quarterback in C.J. Beathard, but I will say this. Their schedule has not been convincing either. That's why I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid of the Hawkeyes yet, because, they beat Illinois State. You should beat a Division I AA team. You beat Iowa State. Iowa State's no good. You had to rally and kick a last-second field goal to beat Pitt. I'm convinced that Pitt is a middle-of-the-pack ACC team. And then
Youngstown, Pelini almost knocked off.
And then you beat up North Texas, which is a bad team. The judgment is out on Iowa until they play Wisconsin this weekend. If they win in Madison, that'll
be an interesting game.
Yeah, if they win in Madison, I think Iowa's for real, because that momentum, they start getting that confidence, that says a lot. But the jury's out on Iowa, and we'll have somewhat of a verdict, I think, on Saturday after the Wisconsin game. Your speeches?
Well, I think the jury's out on all those teams in the Big Ten West, except maybe Northwestern. But, I mean, once you get past Northwestern, Wisconsin, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, God, I just can't wrap my head around any one of them. It's going to be interesting to see here over these first couple of weeks of conference play. It's going to be really interesting. I mean, the Nebraska-Illinois game notwithstanding, but when you're looking at some of these other teams getting into conference play, it's going to be interesting to see how they do, because I think it's going to tell us a lot here in the next couple, 2-3 weeks.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, of course, on that Northwestern note, the Wildcats got to make sure they stay healthy. I'm not saying that the Northwestern crew is as deep as maybe some other teams in the Big Ten. But, of course, I think they are playing the best in the West right now. For Dr. Rob Zadisk, I'm Travis Justice. This has been the Husker Doc Talk podcast presented by the Remington Trophy. Don't forget the Remington Trophy presentation coming up on Saturday, January 16th, 2016, the Rococo Theater in Lincoln. It is the event of all events as it honors the nation's top center. Of course, the award named after former Husker great Dave Remington. It's the night to be seen in Lincoln, and make sure to get your tickets today. Huskers against Illinois this Saturday. Doc and I will be back next week for another edition of the Husker Doc Talk podcast presented by the Remington Trophy.